Our next case is 10-1479, Cleveland Metro Bar versus Brian Freeman. It's my understanding that Mr. Freeman is not present this morning. Thank you. Mr. Gross?
Madam Chief Justice, may it please the court, my name is Joe Gross. I represent the relator, the Cleveland Metropolitan Bar Association, and I urge you to permanently disbar the respondent, Brian S. Freeman.
Counsel, you, I believe, also have filed requesting that we immediately take him out. Is that correct?
Pardon me?
Did you file something requesting we immediately take him out?
Yes, Your Honor. A couple of weeks ago, we filed a motion for interim remedial suspension. Yes.
Could you address that as well?
I will, Your Honor. In fact, let me start with that. Since let me go through some of the timing. We filed our complaint in August of 2009. We filed our motion for entry of a default judgment at the end of 2009. The matter was going to be referred to the Master Commissioner, and then in early in 2010, the respondent for the first time filed a motion, first time did anything in this investigation, and filed a motion in opposition to our motion for entry of default and for leave to file an answer to the complaint, which he never did. And then the case went back to the board from the Master Commissioner, and time took place, and during which the respondent continued to neglect his clients, keep their money, keep their files, and continue the misconduct that is complained of with 8 grievances in our complaint.
Counselor, is Mr. Freeman still practicing?
He is, Your Honor.
Where is he right now?
He's in Cleveland. We can't find him. His postcards come back. We understand that he's filed for bankruptcy. He recently, and the most recent misconduct in the motion for interim remedial suspension is he absconded with over $60,000 of his aunt's money in an estate matter in which he represented the estate. He kept the money and sold the house and kept the money. And
were there criminal charges as a result of that?
Yes, Your Honor.
And has he been apprehended?
He has not. The sheriff is currently doing an investigation. The Cuyahoga County Sheriff is...
So he hasn't been indicted on that?
He has not been, but the prosecutor in Cuyahoga County has indicated to the relator that the office intends to prosecute. Let me continue. When a person presents a check to a bank, the bank is obligated to pay the check based on contract and statute, the Uniform Commercial Code, and the bank policies. But when a lawyer has a client's money, it's not contract law or statutory law that controls. It's a higher obligation. It's a trust obligation. There's a fiduciary obligation, which is encompassed within Rule 1.15 of the Rules of Professional Conduct. And that rule says that the lawyer must promptly deliver the funds or files because of the higher trust that clients must have in their attorneys for this system to work. And not only did the respondent not comply with the request of his clients, he kept the money, and early on, even in 2008, told his clients that he didn't have her settlement funds when it had already been paid to him. That was the Deborah Marshall grievance.
The basis of your request for an immediate remedial suspension, that was filed in December?
Yes, Your Honor.
But those claims go back several months, do they not?
They do, Your Honor.
Were they ever presented or referenced to the board?
When the complaint went back from the master commissioner back to the board, the relator took the position that if the respondent did not answer the complaint and we went forward, that it was prepared to seek a motion for interim remedial suspension. But because of delays and going back and forth, we thought that we would have justice by now, Your Honor. And when we received the indefinite suspension, we decided instead of the disbarment that we had sought, we thought then that we would object to the board's recommendation. And because we filed for oral argument and the time it takes for this process to proceed, that's when we the aunt's misconduct, the conduct dealing with his aunt was filed just recently, and that was the infamous straw.
So, Mr. Gross, did the master commissioner have the benefit of oral argument where you were asking for permanent disbarment, or was this through documents only?
Documents only. We, in our motion for entry of default, we only mentioned the Cleveland Bar Association versus Helfgott case, in which this court got a recommendation of of indefinite suspension from the board and increased it to disbarment because of the misuse of client funds. In that case, it was a retainer, two retainers, that the respondent did not return and did not provide services. Here we have at least three instances of settlement funds, because no retainers were received in a personal injury case. He received three settlements and misused them. In one case, he returned, another law firm paid Ms. Marshall, Timothy Bruce. He was paid, but eight healthcare providers over $6,000 was not paid, and he continued to get phone calls from the healthcare providers. And in one other case, in Allison Maley case, there was $15,000 for a personal injury case where not only did he not take care of the Medicaid lien with the Ohio Department of Jobs and Family Services, he lied to the investigator of the relator, saying that he was working on the Medicare lien with an attorney out of the U.S. Attorney's Office, which turned out not to be true. Those people have not been paid yet. And based on your precedent in the Helfgott case, and recently there was disciplinary counsel versus Henry, which again was retainers, in that case seven retainers, and then the Cleveland Metropolitan Bar Association versus Hildebrand case, which was three instances of non-payment or service, no services with the retainer, and the retainers weren't refused. This is worse. And so I urge you to increase the sanction and tell attorneys, and when people look at what discipline should be involved when it deals with money, if a lawyer misuses it and doesn't handle it properly, they face disbarment, not indefinite suspension.
Yeah, but that matter with involving his grandfather isn't really before us on the.
It is not, Your Honor.
That's on the remedial. So we really don't want to consider that in terms of what the board has. We could either send it back to the board and have them consider this new evidence, if you want to present that, or some other action.
But we
are confined to the record that comes to us from the Board of Grievances, and these new matters that you raised in your motion on December 29th are a separate matter for consideration as our remedial suspension.
Justice O'Donnell, I completely agree. I was here, and the objection is based on what was in the complaint, and in the complaint there were three instances of mishandling of money. It was
okay.
Timothy Bruce, it was Deborah Marshall, and it was Allison Maley. And other matters deserving of disbarment is he dismissed a case for Valley Asia Harris. And after he dismissed the case without her permission, she asked for the file to get another attorney, and he never gave it to her. That's just as bad. She could be out of luck.
Counsel, let me ask a question. When I was going through this, because he never participated in the disciplinary proceedings, it sort of leaves a nagging feeling that maybe there's something more to this case that we don't know about, and was whether or not his conduct resulted from perhaps a mental health issue, or is this a person just of bad character? Now, I know it isn't in the evidence in terms of, you know, any underlying cause other than just, you know, bad conduct. That may have informed the board's determination that maybe something else would surface, in which case that could be resolved and eventually the person would be rehabilitated. I wonder whether you have any information or opinion in that regard.
Justice Kupp, I've spoken with the respondent, I believe, twice, and he sounds like a nice fellow. His conduct is why we're here. There are none of the mitigating or aggravating factors that could be proved. I know from triple hearsay that his father passed away, and there's a history of alcoholism in his family. That's what I know. And it was conjecture upon triple hearsay is probably the better way to say it. And I would also say that he had a chance to prove that. He could have gone into OLAP and committed to correcting his misconduct. He did the exact opposite. He used it, or he didn't use it, but his misconduct continued, and he's stolen money. And he lied to investigators. And he lied to the board by saying he was going to participate in this case. And he didn't. He had no intention to. And he did it to continuous habit? Perhaps. I don't know. I'd like to read to you. This is in the record. This is Exhibit 5 to Exhibit A in the Michael Sawyer's affidavit. Just, I want to express to you the harm that he had, that he portended on his clients. Brian, I have made several attempts to speak with you these last 2 weeks in reference to your sending me my check from the settlement. As of yet, you have not returned my calls or sent me the settlement payment. It has been 3.5 years since I was injured and lost the ability to work. I have been waiting for this meager payment to purchase transportation so that I can get ready to go back to school to retrain and to use it for school, which I'm trying to have done for January registration. I signed the check and the required paperwork and had it notarized and returned to you 2 weeks ago. I put a note in there asking you to send my check as soon as possible. These past 3.5 years have been horrible, and all I have to show for it is a lifetime injury and pain and this meager payment. Please overnight my settlement to me so that I can begin to try and put my life back together and move forward. Signed, Michael G. Sawyer. That was dated August 21st, 2008. And Mr. Sawyer finally got his check more than 2 months later. And he was the lucky one here of the ones. Timothy Bruce. Okay, Brian, let's try it. This is in Exhibit H and Exhibit 3 to Exhibit H. Okay, Brian, let's try it in terms you understand. It's my credit that's being questioned. Anytime someone wants their money, they call me, and I refer them to you. I give them all of your information, but I still get calls, letters, et cetera. Do you get the picture now? Because of this stinking case, it has made it tough to get a loan for a car without a cosigner. Impossible to even think about a home loan, so my credit suffers now, and I could care less what you condone. It's my life and credit here on the line, not yours. It makes no difference to me what I tell these people. They don't call you, they call me. I am tired, Brian, sick and tired. And it goes on. Attorney Stephen Pafflis from the U.S. Attorney's Office gave an affidavit in here saying how the respondent lied to him. And so based on that, I ask that just based on the conduct before you in the complaint to increase, and let me just say one other thing. The master commissioner failed to give any reasons for indefinite suspension. Perhaps it's what Justice O'Donnell or Justice Cupp thought, that it was to give this fellow another chance. He didn't have the full picture, but they didn't explain it. And this court in Helfgott had explained that the conduct that Brian Freeman had in 2008 deserves permanent disbarment. And I wish that this court would tell the attorneys of the state that's what they're going to face if they mishandle funds. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gross. We'll take the matter under advisement, and you will be notified. We will now take a brief recess.